Blog Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
send the
raining
down.
Raining down. Here on the battleground,
for your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
You know, I don't own the rights to that, but I like to open up with a little, we're at war, right? We all know that, right? Yeah, let's not act like we don't know that. We know that. We are at war, and I try to bring it to our attention and keep it in our forefront, in our minds, because Black folks seem to tend to forget that we are at war and have been at war for a very long time. And you guys see the title, and let's talk about why. When Black folks try to fight against racism, why is it that we either get arrested and spend years in jail? Remember Mandela? He spent like 30 years in jail. Didn't even commit a crime, didn't even kill anybody. Spent like 30 years. And some other people with the Black Panther, I think the ones that they didn't kill, I think it was one member, and he still is in jail even till today. So why is it that we either go to jail or we die? Martin Luther King died, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X. I'm just naming a few, I mean, I got a whole slew of them if you want to really go there. But Blog Talk, welcome, welcome. And I'm on Blog Talk and I'm on YouTube at the same time. So I want to give you the Blog Talk number in case you want to call in Blog Talk and discuss. Or YouTube, you have the StreamYard in the comments. So if you want to appear, you can. Blog Talk, the number to Blog Talk, if you want to talk and you don't have to be seen, it's going to be 563-999-3682. Again, 563-999-3682. And we are going to discuss some very important issues here that we are facing in the Black community. Let's talk first about Georgia, the state of Georgia. Yes, I'm going to talk about this election in Georgia, this Farkas in Georgia, and how we know that they are not offering Black people anything but want you to do something for them. And my thing is, what are you going to do for me? If I'm going to give you my vote and I'm going to be faithful, and you know Black voters are the most faithful, we are the most religious, and we are the most faithfulest loyalists ever, right? But why can't we get them to be loyal and faithful to us? Why can't we get them to return the favor the same way we do for them? Why can't we get them to do for us the same way we treat them? I remember the commandment that says, do unto others, but that's not what's happening. They're wanting something from you. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is wanting something from you, but don't want to give you anything, right? So what are we going to do about that? I say let them get their own vote. Biden, he does not deserve anything from you guys. He said that he's not going to do anything. He said, I'm for the people, but then yet when you tell him to defund or dismantle this disgusting racist KKK in blue, what does he tell you? No, I'm not going to do that, but I thought you were for the people, and that racist KKK in blue is not for the people. They're for property and white people because they don't have any harm or issues with the training when it comes to white folks, okay? But they got all the training in the, you know, the training didn't work or training. It's all about training when it comes to Black people. So my thing to you, Joe Biden, you and your Republican Party can kiss booty. I'm just saying. We don't have to do anything for him, and he needs to understand that. We got him. We put him in office. Now, that right there, I didn't, but I'm just saying Black folks. Some Black folks put him in office like dummies, and you rewarded his bad behavior of Black people. You rewarded 40 years or 30 years of him disrespecting, dishonoring, and treating Black people with racism, and rewarded his bad behavior of making a law and then supporting that law and then lying on the Black caucus and the leaders, which they did. He didn't really lie. He created the law, but he didn't take any blame for that. So he blames the Black leaders and the Black caucus for the bill that he wrote. Then he blamed the states for endorsing it when he offered the state $30 million to help him out or to endorse his crime bill. Okay? Excuse me. But he never has said, he never has admitted, nor has he right any of his wrongs. But he wants something from you, Black folk. What are we going to do? My thing is, I say, let the Republicans have those darn seats. And let him fight with the Republicans for the next 4 years and let the Republicans give him hell. And then he'll say, oh, Black folk, I couldn't do anything for you because I didn't have the Senate. It doesn't matter. Obama did the same thing. And he worked with Obama, so if Obama didn't do anything, why would you think that he's going to do anything for us? Let Biden fight the Republicans for the next 4 years. Let the Republicans give him hell. He told us he's not going to do anything for us. Then guess what? We can't support you. If you can't do any, you can't scratch our back, we're not going to scratch yours. How about that? I'm just saying. This goes both ways. If you want me to do something for you, Biden, then I expect you to do something for us. Georgia, you let them seats sit. Let them seats go to the Republicans and let him see how we feel about him going off in front of millions in a Blog Talk, how he disrespected our so-called Black leaders, and how nobody said anything to stand up for Black people. I'm sick of nobody ever standing up, and when they do stand up for Black people, they're cool. They have so much nothing to say, and then you want us to vote for what? What are they offering you? I keep asking Black folks, out of all of the presidents, name me one law that they've written for us. Name me one law that they've written for us over the 45, 46 presidents that we've had. Name me one Black law that they have written for Black people. but you want me to vote. You want Georgia to vote for you. You want something from them, but you don't want to give them anything. Sorry, won't happen. Not doing it. Not happening. You do you. You get your own vote. You do what you got to do, and then you'll have a reason to say, well, black people didn't support me, so I didn't do anything for them. That'll be your excuse. You're not going to do anything for us anyway. But what's the sad part about it is black folk doing for you, getting you the presidency when you didn't deserve it because they didn't have another choice. They didn't want Trump because the media and society, white society had convinced black folk that Trump was bad for them and Trump was more worse than Biden, and we believed the hype. So, of course, we gave another racist, who was a little more quieter than Trump. Trump was a loud racist. Biden is a quieter one and a sneakier one. So we rewarded him because he wasn't so loud with it. He didn't use such harsh words, but he still has shown you over the years how he thought of you and what he thought of you over the years. And we've given him a pass, and we said, it's okay. As long as you say I'm sorry, we'll forgive you. And we'll look past that. All of the harm that you've done and you've created within our black families, it's okay, we forgive you. No. I don't forgive nothing. I'm sorry. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them yes niggas. I'm just niggas. Yes. I'm not one of them. I'm just saying. It's time for us to stand up for what's right, and it's time for us to expect something. This is our year, family, and they have to come to us to proceed. I'm just saying. This is our time, and we have to understand, and we have to know that this is our season, and their season is done. But if you are going to remain giving them, or you're going to continue to give them your season, if you're going to continue to give them your place, then shame on you. For whatever you get, you get. You had $600 that you just got. What did you do with it? Are you investing in your business? I'm getting a building. I just heard something today, and the lady, we're still in negotiations as far as the building, so I am looking for vendors. So I'm about it. I'm not just talking. So are you about it? North Carolinians, I am looking for vendors. We're going to rent spaces. It's a building. I'm looking for at least 20 to 25 vendors. That place is big enough for 20 to 25 vendors. I'm looking for vendors that have a business. You have a product. You have catering. You have bakery goods. You have goods. You have purses. You have jewelry. You have Pazrazi. You have Mary Kay. Come on. And I need somebody there that has, like, gym shoes. We need women tactical gear. Who's selling bullets, who's selling like purses, who's selling tasers. I need Victoria's Secrets. I'm not Victoria's Secrets, but I need what's the people with the negligee. I need all of that. I have a space, and I am looking for vendors. Where are my vendors? Okay. The details will be discussed after. I'm working out the contract with the lady now and going through some negotiations because it's COVID, and I'm not going to pay you what you're asking. Okay, so negotiations are going on now. So I'm looking for people that are serious and that want to sign at least a six-month contract, and you'll get a discount on your vending fees. So I'm looking for serious-minded people, okay? And how we're going to do it in COVID, we are going to take temperatures, and we're going to allow 10 people in at a time, just like they do at Walmart, just like they do it at any other store out there, okay? They don't, you know. So we are going to be doing this, and we are going to be COVID-minded. But still, we have to eat. And it is time for black people to support each other, and it's time for us to pull away slowly but surely as we can away from them. Okay? This is our season, family, and it is time for us to do what we need to do. Okay? So any questions, I'll put my phone number in the comment. Or either you can go my let me get tartruth@gmail.com. I'll put that in here. If you have any questions, let me type that for you. You can always go into Heart Truth, HeartTruthZ12 at gmail.com. That is my that's my email. So if you have any questions or comments, you can hit me up on my email. Okay, and so my thing is, let's be about it. So let's stop talking. We've talked long enough. Let's be about it. So let's do it, okay? Now, let's talk about the topic here. Let's talk about the topic. We got a lot to cover here, and it is time for us to get busy understanding what is going on, okay, with why is it when black folk want to come together and we want to combat or come against racism, or we want to stand up for how we've been treated. They want to slap you in jail. They want to put a whole bunch of charges on you, like NFAC. They put a bunch of charges on this man, and he has two cases: state charges and federal charges, which is crazy. Of something so crazy and ludicrous, you want to charge a man that has not shot anybody, but you with the same charges that you've given three police officers, one police officer, I should say, and thank God for Breonna Taylor. Those two other officers are arrested. They were fired. Okay. But my thing is with that, they, you know, kind of gave them the heads up. Hey, we're going to fire you. So if you need to quit so that we don't ruin your career, you can do that. That's what that was for me. That wasn't a real generous gesture of any kind toward black people. They were still looking out for the police officers. They still gave them opportunities to quit. To go and find jobs elsewhere. My thing is, if you murdered someone, why weren't they brought up on charges? If you could fire them, then they should have been brought up on charges. This is why the conversation right now should be defund and dismantle the police. Seriously, period. To break that system down, because that system has not worked for black folks since forever, and it's not going to ever work the way it is now. Okay, so my thing is, let's dismantle them from the ground up. Okay, from the ground. Let's tear it down and rebuild it. Let's rebuild a new foundation. Let's get rid of the old slave catcher foundation where you caught black folks, you murdered them, you killed them, you took them back to slave owners or the plantation, but they might have been missing a toe, they might have been missing a foot, or they might have been missing a hand or a head, or you killed them. And then the laws, let's change some laws too, because we still have laws on the book that says, hey, if you murder a black person, a slave, while training or disciplining them, that you cannot be brought up on felony charges. I'm just saying, how is that possible? And why is that law still in the books? They say, oh, we don't go by those laws. But we know that a whole lot of the Jim Crow black folks are still on the books, and they still go by them. They may say they're not, and then when you ask them, they're saying, oh, no, those laws are done away with. But I see police officers not being punished. I see white people that's committing crimes against black people not being punished. I see Karens who are calling the police on black people for barbecuing, selling waters. Nothing is happening to them when they do have a law, but nobody's up keeping that law. So my thing is, when are we as black people going to do something, okay? And the best way and the only way that I can think of right now is to hold our money, to support ourselves, because guess what? When they go after one of us, they go after the whole clan, okay? And they went after the NFAC. We have to support our brother. And we have to begin to come up with we have to build the reality that we want to see. We have to slowly but surely, if you see a need in the community that's needed, that's an opportunity for you to build that business, and we will support you. I'm just saying. And we can do it nationwide. This vendors thing is just not going to be for North Carolina. It's going to be for Virginia. It's going to be for Georgia. It's going to be for South Carolina. We are going to do it nationwide. I'm just saying, there is no reason why we can't do this nationwide. And I'm going to do one. And I'm going to get this one going first. And then we are going to do it in Virginia. And then we're going to go to Georgia and do one. Then we're going to keep doing down to Maryland, Virginia, D.C. So we're going to do it along this strip, okay? So my thing is, I want to franchise it. I mean, I have dreams and aspirations. I want to franchise it, but this is something that we want to do, okay? So my thing is, family, we have to come together. I do have a GoFundMe, and I'm going to put that in the link. It is GoFundMe New Beginnings Store, okay, Community Store, I'm sorry. That's not going to actually be the name. We have decided to shorten the name a little bit, but I'm not going to tell that yet. But the GoFundMe, and I am looking for people to do pledges. I am looking for monthly pledges. Because this is a big deal, and I cannot do it by myself. GoFundMe, and it is GoFundMe, .com, and it's New Beginnings Community, STORE. Okay, that's what it's called. Did I spell beginnings right? I don't know. It looks like something wrong with New Beginnings. Oh, I got too many G's. How in the world? New Beginnings. I think it's an idiot. Okay. New Beginnings Community Store. Okay. So this is the link to the GoFundMe, and I hope you guys will support. I know we have been on here before. We said we wanted to do something. So this is your, if you want to Renaspot, Heart Truths. You contact me through Heart Truths if you want to do a pledge or if you want to help me to get it started. It's going to take probably about $3,500, $4,000 to do it. But I told you we're trying to negotiate that. So I need some help, you guys. I can't do it by myself. Group economics. I believe in group economics. I do. Let's not forget to support our brother NFAC. Okay, at his GoFundMe, and his is write it in the comments also. And this is for Grandmaster Dre. Hold on. Defense fund, you guys. Okay, Grandmaster J, defense fund. Let's try to put some spaces in here, huh? I don't know what I was doing. Oh, shoot. Hold on. Okay, we want to support our brother because you guys may say, Grandmaster J. Hold on, you guys. You have to understand, you guys, if we allow, I don't think it's Grandmaster J, it might be Grandmaster, it is Grandmaster J. Hold on, you guys. We're going to get this together, I promise you. We're going to get it together, you guys, okay, together. But guess what? If we allow Defense Fund, and it is by, I'm going to put by Rosemary Parker. Okay, this is the only one that he wants us to do by Rosemary Parker because she did develop it, and this is his Defense Fund. My thing is, I was always taught if you hit one, you hit the whole family. If you fight one, you fight the whole family. And we have to support our brother. He stuck out his neck. Nobody's perfect, you guys. Stop saying, oh, he did this. He's an agent. Shut up. I don't care. Just he's B1. What is he doing now? You gave Biden a pass, and that racist did what to black folk, and you supported him. So guess what? I expect you to do the same thing for your black NFAC defense leader. We need that defense. We need a legal team. We have needs in the black community, and people are not going to be perfect. But if they can do the job, then let them do the job. That's their gift. But you're looking at Moses was a murderer, okay? And God chose him to lead the people, did he not? So stop with this. He's an agent. He's this, he's that, and the other. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what he was or what he used to be. My thing is, what's he doing now? He's B1 now. Let's go for it. Let's support our brother. Because guess what? If we allow them to get away with what they're trying to do to him, they're going to be doing it. What's stopping him from coming after anybody else black that's speaking against racism? Come on, you guys. Be smart. That's why half y'all won't say nothing, won't open up a YouTube page, won't say nothing. You just allow different stuff because you're scared. Stop being scared. We ain't never been scared of white folks. We used to kick their butts in high school. When we was in high school, they didn't say nothing to us because we whooped their behinds. And guess what? They better not say nothing now because I still feel the same way. So stop it. We are not going to do this. We're going to support our brother. Okay? So stop with the agent stuff. I don't care. You don't have any proof. Give me proof or shut the hell up. I don't want to hear, oh, he's an agent. Okay, show me proof. You're an agent. If you keep talking about he's an agent, I think you're an agent. And black folk got to get it together and start coming together and come on, counteract some of this stuff. Stop listening to all this crazy stuff. And you know, you got toxic black folk that was friends with him, and now they're not. Get it together, black folk. Please, get it together. Stop it. This is nonsense. Come on, let's do better. Let's do better. But I wanted to kind of go into detail. And let's get some eyes on black folk and why is the FBI giving black folk such a hard time, okay? They're calling some of our groups the domestic terrorists, or they're calling them black identity extremists, and that's what they're calling them, okay? FBI said they were dangerous, even though they have never killed anybody. You got FBI putting a label on groups like the Moves that they killed. The governor of Philadelphia killed, was it the mayor? The mayor, the governor, killed the Move. It was a group called the Move. And you can look them up, MOVE. And they murdered them in Philadelphia. And, you know, they had row houses, right? So six of those row houses got destroyed and like 11 people died, five children, okay, that was in the house with Move. And because they were standing up against racism and they were standing up against injustice. So
So why is it when we stand up against injustice, we end up dying? I don't understand that. Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. We've already talked about the Georgia voters. Get it together. And, hey, let's be cautious this weekend, tomorrow. I think you got the six three percenters are supposed to be down there marching on D.C. about Trump. So, family, have your candy bars with you. Don't go out by yourself. Go in pairs and make sure that you got your head on the swivel, okay? Please be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, okay? They are still hanging black folks. They're trying to say that it's suicide, but we all know the truth. They are hanging black folk, and you're not going to tell me the police officers don't have something to do with that. I can't prove that, but I do believe that that's what it was. And history shows us that, remember the three boys that got arrested by the sheriff? They let them out like at 10 o'clock at night or 6. They let them out late at night, and then the sheriff ended up stopping them again, and then the Klan came up and killed them. Okay, so let's talk about that. Okay, the FBI wants to identify black people as extremists, but not the KKK, not the police officers that act like such terrorists. That we all know that the Boogaloo Boys and the Three Percenters and the Bad Boys, Proud Boys, have infiltrated our police department, and they still won't and don't and have not done anything about it. And we can prove it. Jason Black did a video on racism in America or something like that. His last two videos he did, and it had was talking about the New York Times and how they did a report on the militias, the white militias in America. And the police officers had a mask on with three percenters, the logo, which is three, you know, looking like the number of Roman numeral three, okay, had the lines, okay. And then he had a star, one sheriff department person or deputy had a star, a flag underneath, and had three percenters at the top on his badge, so next to his badge. So we know, and we have proof, and we've been known it, that the police have infiltrated, the Boogaloo Boys have infiltrated the police, so they are real thugs. So this is why we want you to defund and dismantle the police department, because they've been infiltrated by the KKK. But the FBI has not put them on the identity extremist list, right? They've not put the Boogaloo Boys or the Three Percenters on a list, right? But you have black folks who are fighting for injustice on a BIE list, Black Identity Extremist list, and you're saying they're dangerous? Are you serious? Really? Okay. Okay. And then they claim that the Black Lives Matter started it. Wow. I thought this started back in KKK, way back in slavery. But we're not going to say that. I thought it started back in the 1963, when Martin Luther King was doing the civil rights leader, and so many people died from that, okay? But never was the KKK put on any kind of list. Even to this day, they're still not put on the list. But you want to go and arrest NFSC leader because he's standing up against injustice, okay, and racism. So what do we do, family, when we have a governor, when we have the government, your racist government, your thug-terrorist government, okay, who's fighting against, okay, black folks that want to stand up for injustice? They want to stand up because injustice is happening. Our boys are being shot down, okay, by the Boogaloo Boys, by the Proud Boys, Three Percenters, who are posing as police officers, who are, and our boys are unarmed. But then you have them raiding a court building, okay? And with armed weapons, and nobody's threatened. And then I see them shaking hands with the Boogaloo Boys at the protest, but nobody's, and the Boogaloo Boys have weapons, the Proud Boys have weapons, and the police aren't threatened. But you have a black man, one black man, who got 3,000 members, over 3,000 nationwide, but he got 3,000 members to come and do a protest in Kentucky, Louisville. And because they couldn't do their derby, so now they're going to make him pay because he messed up their money for the derby, so they're going to get their money back from him. Really? That's petty. But guess what? Your time is up. Your time is up. America, your time is up. I am not provoking violence at all, but I want justice for I want justice. I'm tired of what I'm seeing. Our babies are being gunned down and for being just being black. Okay, come on. And then you said, oh, they're not you know, they're not conforming, or they're, you know, they're resisting, or they're, no, they're not. They're living. They're black. You haven't, they're shooting down our teens, our babies, okay? So what are we going to do about it? So they said the Black Lives Matter was ground zero for them being interested in targeting and surveilling black activists. Okay, well, let's talk about those black activists. We're going to do a show on the six of them that died with Michael Brown. Okay, those six, Darren Seals, and it was like six of them that died of suspicious circumstances that they say is suicide. But we know the difference. They just won't say it. But it's okay because we all know you don't have to say it. You don't have to tell us that the police officers killed them because we know that they have a group out there that's murdering activism. You have one that's 19 that just died. What's her name? This was like in June. And hold on, let me find her name. Oh, she had a hard name, so I wrote it down. But let me find her name. Yeah, her name was O L U W A T O Y I N, Salon, S-A-L-A-N. She was 19. And the person that killed her was Aaron Glee. Okay, he was 49, and he raped her, and she had a person with her named Victoria Sims, and Victoria Sims was 75. That lady was with Salon when she died, and they were found in Mr. Aaron Glee's house, who was in connection with the rape and the kidnapping and the murder of these two individuals. And, yes, Ms. Oluwatani, I know I butchered her name, Salon was 19, okay, and she was an activist in Tallahassee, Florida. And she died. She went missing June 6, 2020. So, yes, they're still doing this in 2020, murdering the activists. Okay, let's not even talk about Gagne, Melissa McKinney's son, who was found hung in his backyard, and his fist was clutched, his pants was pulled down. We know the white supremacy systems, right? We know their symbols, right? So you pulling down a young man's pants is a symbol that they did it, okay? So we know the KKK did it. The police officers in blue who are who have been infiltrated by the Blue Boys, we know that they had something to do with it. But they didn't want to kill her, but they got her son. You know, they want to get something as close to you as they can, okay? So we just not – we what do we do when you have what do we do when we have the government who's really in charge and over all of this, but they're thug terrorists, okay? What do we do when you have police officers that's been infiltrated by the Boogaloo Boys? What do you do when you're trying to fight for justice and you can't because you have people with badges that are hiding behind their badges and who are murdering our unarmed black men, who are murdering our activists, who are murdering who murdered. You know, these are people that have badges, and they have permission to murder you, and you know what they're doing, and we can't do anything about it. How do we deal with that? What do we do about that? My thing is we hold our money away from them. We don't purchase nothing from Walmart. That's the only way that I can think, because for them, money, power, that's their power, money. So what do? We hold back our money. We create our own Wakanda, whatever you call it. We create our own city. We create our own. Whatever it is we want to see, we create it. Our own businesses, we start small, and we do group economics, and we create our own Walmart. We create our own Kmart. We create our own bakery. We create our own everything. We take our money from them, and we spend it among our own. Now, this is going to take some work. This is going to take you transforming this family, because our minds need to be transformed, because we've been through 400-plus years of hell, trauma, and we're dealing with Stockholm Syndrome and the Willie Lynn Syndrome. I don't care what they say. They'll tell you, oh, no, that don't exist. It does exist, okay? Because the way we jump on each other, the way we go against each other, the way we talk about each other, the way we don't support each other, the way we'll pass a black-owned business and we'll go down to the next business, which is a white-owned business, and we'll support them and buy our ice from them. We'll buy our dinners from them. We'll buy Chinese food. Or the Arabs who make, I seen a sign on the truck, I missed to take a picture of it. Soul food. And these were Arabs. What? Soul food? What kind of soul food you making? Really? So you got Arabs making soul food now and selling them on these trucks? Really? I don't want to taste your soul food because I know you ain't cooking worth nothing. You know how you want to cook some soul food? It's like to me, we trying to go and cook some Arab food. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So I know it's going to be jacked up. I know the taste is going to be off. Because how are they making soul food for us? That's our culture, right? Can they cook greens? Can they do the mac and cheese? Can they do the yam? I don't eat ham, but can they do the turkey? Can they do the fried chicken? I'm just saying. I ain't never seen a white person or no ill care cook no fried chicken better than a black person. So you can miss me with that. I'm just saying. So we have to understand that worldwide, black folks who start up activists worldwide. And we're going to talk about a couple of them. Remember Mandela? He tried to stand up for just from the apartheid, right? Mandela. What happened to him? He got 30 years, right? And his whole group, some died and some were released with him. But a lot of them men died, okay, in jail. We had the Black Panthers who were killed, Fred Hampton. We have MLK, Martin Luther. We have Malcolm X, Mayor Evers. We have the six who stood up with Michael Brown. You know, we have you have three actors, Sandra Bland. We have, God, I'm gonna look up some right now. Let me look up a couple right now that men. Let me look up some men, okay? I just wanted to talk about a couple of men that have been a couple of men that I know have been murdered, okay? And we're going as far as, I mean, we're talking about like 19, there was a group in South Africa, hold on a moment. You had a Kenyan man named Tom Mboya in 1969 that was killed. Fred Hampton, of course. A Ghanaian businessman and Cape Verdean intellectual poet. Some of these names is Amilcar Cabral, Cabral. He died in 1970. Then you have, let's come on up to the date. You also have a Kenyan socialist, Joshua M.W.A. Mungwani, and his last name was K-A-R-I-U-K-I. He died in 65. I'm just naming some black, and this is nationwide. We're not just talking about now. And then you had four. Then you have another Stephen Biko, B-I-C-B-I-K-O, in 77, in South African. He was an apartheid activist. Ugandan, you had Juwani Luwuma, L-U-W-U-M. Okay, this was in 77. And then you had like a group of them. Let me see, we had another Ghanaian, which is Walter Rodney, in 80. Now, we're talking about up as far as 95, 96, they're still dying. Then, come on, let's go. These are just the men. We've not even talked about the women, but we're going to get on the women in a minute. But I'm just throwing a couple of men, and you had apartheid here. You had a Fort Calata, okay, with a South African apartheid activist. And there was a group called the Craddock, the C-R-A-D-O-C-K, the Craddock Four, okay? That was a group, and it was fighting against apartheid, right, in South Africa. And this was back in 85, okay? So it was four of them. It was Matthew, it was S-I-C-L-O, and also one more, Sparrow. M-K-H-O-N-T-O. Now, this was as late as like 1985, you guys, okay? And then you had another one, Dulcie, September in 88, who died. And then you had Toulon. Uh-huh. What? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you'll be fine. And then you had another one in South Africa. He was an anthropologist, and it was David Weber, and it was in 1989. So we're talking about people that are dying in the 80s, okay, in the 90s, that are still dying, okay? And we had an Algerian. We had another South African named Chris Hani in 1993. These are people. And then you had Johanna Hine, and this was in South Africa. Okay, let me see. And there was one lady that was the spouse. Her name was Kudirat Abiol Abula. Okay, she was the she was running for Nigerian pro democracy campaigner. She was assassinated while her husband. Mushad Abula was being detained while her husband was being detained by the Nigerian government
He was the winning candidate in the election that had been taking place in 1993 and was arrested shortly after they were simultaneously annulled by the ruling. Okay. So she actually was his wife. Okay. So these are, I mean, this stuff is still going on. And this happened when? In 1997? Yeah. Let me see who else. You also, I mean, you got a Haiti, Jean Dominique in 2000. I mean, so this stuff has been going on for a while. Okay, you have a Jamaican, hold on, no, my bad, Gambian, D-E-Y, Danda, Hydra, okay, H-Y-D-A-R-A. I mean, these are people that even today that's been trying to fight the government, okay, that's trying to stand up for racism, stand up to injustice, and they're killing them. Okay, so what do we do as black people when we see this happening? This is not even all. We have a whole slew of women that are also, you have a Zambian, Tondere, T-O-N-D-R-A-E-A-I, I'm sorry. This was in 2008. So this has been going on. Let's go down to, let's see somebody that's really into it today that died recently. Okay, that was 2008 was the last one, but I'm sure you've had some more. So let's look at the women. Okay, that's just the men. That's not even talking about the women that have died. Okay, so we have the black women. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. And this is the FBI surveillance of black women activists then and now. Okay, and this story was by Ashley D. Farmer, okay, and this was back in 2001 when the FBI Terrorism Analyst Unit released a memo that identified a new national threat, and it was talking about the black extremists, like I just told you, okay. And then they talked about a little bit about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Let me try to get to the good part. I mean, that's not even including Sandra Bland. And it's been a few other women that have died also, okay? But my thing is our black men are being targeted for two main reasons, fear and reproducing, because white folk know that they're not reproducing, and our men are and can. And we black folk have never had a problem reproducing. So right now what they're doing is trying to put our men with white women, or they're trying to make you LGBT, you know, or they're murdering you. Those are three ways that they're dealing with black men, okay? Especially when you show a masculinity, okay? Like NFAC, Grandmaster, you know they can't have that, okay? You can't have that. I just want to make sure I'm saying. There was the an outfit called, and it was made by Fannie Lou Hamer, and they called it Sojourners for Truth, okay, and it was founded in 1951, if you guys want to look it up, okay, and we had three main women, which was Louise Thompson, Shirley Graham Du Bois, and Eslanda Robinson, and that was the three main people that brought a lot of their expertise to the group, okay. And you better believe they gave him hell, okay? I'm just saying. So don't ever think that it was just men that was doing all of this. So we had some women. And I just want to go over a little bit about that with you and how this has been going on for a long time, you guys. And it's still going on even till today. So a lot of them are being beaten, and they're being murdered, and they'll say it's suicide. I'm going to tell you, we're going to do a show on the activism that the activists that are coming up missing even now. In 2020. Now we're talking about 2021. Okay, and even the ones that are being hung, okay, our black men that are being hung, that they're saying, oh, it's suicide. It ain't no suicide. Okay. Let me see. Okay, this tracking of activists has deeply intertwined roots in the nation's history under the watch of multiple presidents and attorney generals, okay? The government has engaged in decades-long surveillances and harassment campaigns against black activists. That began with the creation of a Bureau of Investigation in 1908. Via FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, who was horrible. This operation expanded significantly with his establishment of the COINTELPRO program, okay? We all know about that COINTELPRO program, right? Right? From, they say the program was from 1956 to 71, but we know that they're ramping that program up now, okay? Federal agent partnered with state officials and police to eavesdrop on phone calls, create false mails, and black propaganda. Publications infiltrated organizations. Didn't they just do that with the FBI now to include the black extremists even now, right? Okay. They sent a letter out to thousands, like to over so many thousands of police departments claiming that the black, there was a new black identity extremist group out. Remember that? Okay. And that was last year, right? Or 2019, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Let's listen. Okay. So they used the federal agents partnered with state officials and police to eavesdrop on phone calls, create false mail, and black propaganda publications infiltrated, fabricated evidence aimed at turning agent activists against each other. They do that now. They are I'm telling you, these devils, they are so far ahead of us because some of this stuff that they do, we wouldn't even think to do. Okay, Hoover targeted targeting of leaders such as Dr. Martin Luther King. Junior Malcolm X is now the subject of scholarly and popular lore. Okay, less well known, however, are the many black women who endured repression during COINTELPRO. Examining the efforts illuminates the deep roots of government surveillance and shed light on FBI tactics and the infiltration of uprisings, which are increasingly women led. Okay, so my thing is not forget, you guys, that we're still dealing with that today, okay? We just think because this was Sojourn for the Truth, and the Justice were among the first of many black women groups to draw Hoover's attention. They were founded in 1951. The Sojourn cultivated a national presence on behalf of black mothers, widows, and women activists such as Louise. I just told you about her, Louise Thompson Patterson. Shirley Graham Du Bois and Aslada Robinson brought their expertise to the group. Younger Sojourn leaders included budding writers Alice Chisholm, Lauren Hasbury. The organization developed a black feminist ideology and agenda for political politics that empowered working class black women by combining Black Nationalist and America Communist Party political parties on race, class, and gender with black women radicals' own lived experience. Okay, they applied their focus, broadly developing a platform that ranged from anti-lynching and anti-apartheid protests. Okay, then it talks about the COINTELPRO, but we have to understand that this stuff has been going on for a long time. But why is it that it's still being allowed to even exist today? We have black leaders that are actually in charge that can do something, that can make laws, but won't do anything. Because why? They're living large. They're living hard, like Maxine Waters, John Lewis, Eugene, Elijah Cummings, Karen Bass, and some of them others, Barbara Thompson, a lot of them live in large. And these were Black Panther, you know, Karen Bass was one a part of the Black Panthers. Did you guys know that? She was one of those members. What they've done, they infiltrated the Black Panthers, shut them down, and then they went and hired them to work in Senate and the Congress, paying them money to shut them up. Because they know, okay, we feeding you, and your bread and butter is coming from us, then we're not going to have to worry about you talking against us because we feeding you and we got more control that way. So you have to understand, if you're working for them, you can't go against somebody you're working for. That's why we have to have our own. We have to have our own everything, own money, own supermarkets, so they can't come to you and say, oh, we're going to shut you down because you're speaking against us. No, we have our own, so you can't do anything because it's group economics and we running this. But we have to have like-minded people working with us. We can't go and get a coon like Roland Martin, who's trying to get black folks to vote in Georgia when they've not done and not going to do anything for black people. So when are we going to wake up from that? When are we going to get to the place where we're like, look, we're not doing this. You are not, have not, and will not ever. And as far as I've seen, you have not ever written any laws for us.
You've not ever written any new laws for black people, and police have been killing us since before Obama. Well, Obama, really. And what law? We had a black president, and did he write any laws for Mike Brown being killed by that police race soldier? No. Did we have a black caucus write any laws? No. Did we have anybody? We had black mayors. Did they write any? What? We had black senators. Did they? Who? So you want us to keep voting for what? I'm not understanding that. We're giving you our vote. We're being loyal. We're being faithful, as we always are, but we can't get them to do anything for us. I'm not understanding that. Hold on, you guys. I'm getting a little dry here. Hold on. But we can't get them to do anything for us. Why? Answer that. So we have 45 presidents, and we can continuously, and they go, oh, we got it. Come on, you guys. We can do this. We need your help. This, you know, this year, it's a matter of life and death. Don't they say that every year? They tell us that every year. And every year, what do? Every year, we get nothing. We vote faithfully, but we're not putting money behind our candidates. So my thing is now, black people, it's time for us to start running for some of these offices. We can run for mayor. We can run for city council. We can run for governor. We can run, but we have to vote as a block. We can't vote as, you know, we can't continue splitting our votes up. We have to come up and we have to vote as a block. We have to get on one accord and say, this is really what we're standing for. Just say, for instance, I run for mayor. Well, we know what Kathy stands for. She's B1. She's going to do this and the other for black people and blah, blah, blah. Then I need black people to support. Just like I wouldn't dare do it if I didn't have some help. I would need at least 2 to 3 city council members that are black, one, black first, that have a black heart, that would go along and support me if I come up with some black laws and say, hey, we're going to go and we're going to give reparations to the city. I would have to have some city council members that are black first that would have my back. I can't be mayor of a city if I don't have no help. I can't be mayor of a city and say, oh, I'm going to get you reparations, and I got 9 members of the city council that's going to vote against me. No, I need at least 3 of those members to be on my side so that we can vote locally to get reparations. I'm just saying, it's things that we can do locally. We don't always have to look to the federal government to do anything for us, because they're not going to do anything. But we can run for mayor. And no matter, you know, it's just so amazing at how Trump has a stripper for a wife, and nobody brought that up when he was running for president. But I guarantee you, if I had a pimp for a husband, they would be bringing that up. But my thing is, are you B1? What's your agenda? And let's make it happen. I don't care what in the world they come up with and say, oh, you was, you know, we've seen you, you know, park together, chicken with park, and my thing is, they're going to come up with everything and anything to stop us from doing what we need to do. But it's going to take us as a group family, us as a block, to make things happen, to change our situation. We cannot any longer depend on white supremacy to save us. We've been looking for white folks to save us. Why would white folks come and save you? That don't make no sense. Why would you even look for white folks to save you? What have they done for you? Have they saved you as far as the police killing you? Have they said anything as far as police murdering your children? Have they said anything? But what they do, they jump on a man white and jump on the police side. Even white evangelical church folks are supposed to be your brothers and sisters, okay? But they want you to take a vaccine, but they can't protect you and they can't make laws for you to help you to stay alive. But you want me to take a vaccine because you care about my life. I'm just saying, does that make any sense to anybody? Am I making sense here? Or am I just talking to myself? I really want us to come together and think about some of these things and stop being so hard and just going and keeping your mind one way. Okay, we're going to vote, and when we vote, we're going to do what? We're going to get what? Think about that. Answer that question. You give them your vote. They say, well, you know, we moved a little, just a little bit. At least we don't get the wrong people in there. What does that mean? What are they doing for you? What have they done for you? What laws are these people that we're voting for to keep them in office? What laws are, what are they doing for black people? We put plenty of people in office. We put Obama in office. What did he do for you? We put Biden in office. Let's see what he's going to do for you. Probably nothing. Now, you're talking about they come to you and say, hey, we want you to do something as far as the Senate race. Well, okay, what do you want to do for black people? That's my question again. What laws? Because the Senate is who makes the laws, right? So do we expect him, or did we make demands for the Senate? Hey, if you're going to get our vote, what are you going to do for it? No, we didn't. We just said, oh, we're going to support him. No, we're not going to support him unless he has an agenda and say, okay, this is what we're going to offer you. If you're not going to offer me anything, I'm not going to give you my vote. I don't care what a Republican, what happened with that seat. I don't care who gets that seat, because guess what? You're not willing to do anything for us. Let's finish talking about I'm trying to see.
What time is it? Is it almost 2 o'clock? Oh, it's almost 2 o'clock. Well, was it talking that long? Isn't that something? Family, goodness gracious, we are just silly. Okay, let's just finish. I just want to. It's not that much longer, but they talk about the COINTELPROTACTIS. I don't think I want to talk about that because we already know that. Okay, well, yeah, a little. Okay, COINTELPROTACTIS developed in tandem with, and in some cases through the FBI surveillance of the sojourners. Remember, we're talking about Fannie Lou, okay? Agents began watching the group in September 15th in anticipation of their initial sojourn to D.C. But I bet you, are they watching the Google Boys right now that said they're going to D.C. January 6th, 2020? I'm just wondering. The organization called on black women to meet in the national capital to demand the president, the Justice Department, and the Congress to absolute, immediate, and unconditional redress of black women grievances. Quickfire agent reports illustrated that the Bureau's growing concern that prominent members such as Ms. Paul Robinson, Ms. Willie McGee and Ms. Shirley Du Bois and Mrs. William Patterson could attract hundreds to D.C. to pressure high-ranked government officials. Building on Cold War discourses, the Bureau claimed that the sojourners were attempting to disguise the true communist character of their organization by securing Negro women who were interested only in the betterment of the Negro race for their subversion causes. However, records indicated that the Bureau's real concern was that D.C. protest was a test movement for the sojourn larger plans to incite a revolution amongst black people. Why is it when we want to stand up for justice, they come up with something that's out of their butt to make us look bad, like we really want to tear America? What more can we do to America that America's not doing to themselves? What is it that we want to kill our police officers? What are you talking about? We're tired of the injustice, and we're making groups like the NFAC is building defense because the police can't be trusted. We don't need them coming in, police in our neighborhoods. We don't need them doing anything in our neighborhood. We don't need them at all. We don't need the police doing anything. We need the NFAC. We need the defense team. We need our new legal to start investigating some of these suicides, to investigate some of these police officers. We need these two programs right now, black family. And it's imperative that we do, that we support the NFAC right now to get him off these charges so that he continue his work. And I do believe that Yah is going to take over, and I do believe that he's going to be not guilty. I do believe that because when Yah is behind it, then nothing that you try to do is going to hurt the program, it can't hurt. Okay, can't infiltrate. It's going to be fine. But we have to support. We can't just allow what we see. We can't allow them what they're trying to do, because if we allow them to railroad him, they're going to come after us. But we have to show a force. And look, you come after one, we coming back after you. And I'm not saying nothing about violence. Please, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about holding our money, okay? Because we can hold that money, and you know it. We just got $600. I hope you guys are investing in your own businesses. I'm just saying. You can spend $125 to get your name for your business. You can spend $20 to get your website, to get your domain, $10 at GoDaddy. And you can start selling mugs, start selling T-shirts, open up your own business, start selling something that's a need. Start selling masks. Start selling hand sanitizers. Start selling Lysol. Start selling toilet paper, toothpaste. Start selling towel paper. I'm just giving ideas. This is what we can do. We have to do something, you guys. Group economics. Okay, let's continue on. And then we're almost done. I'm not going to hold you too much longer. Nothing stoked FBI agents' fear of the sojourn more than their proposed march on Georgia. In October 51, agents began to fixate on the group's plan to gather hundreds of support. Rosalie Ingram, a black woman, sharecropper, and mother, accused of killing a white man who attacked her and her son. Okay, so they're accused of killing somebody, but what was the man doing for him to die? Come on, you guys. The man had attacked them and her son. And what you supposed to get them off? You a man? I'm a woman. This is a man. What are we supposed to do? I'm not condoning violence, but I am condoning that you defend yourself. And then by her defending herself, now she brought up on murder charges. Okay, I digress. Come on. In classification memos, they asserted that a Sojourn lead group of thousands or more colored women planned to protest the imprisonment of Rosa Lee Ingram outside her Georgia prison cell. The Bureau also claimed that the Sojourn intended to forcibly take Mother Ingram from prison in the hopes of provoking an incident that will cause bloodshed and spark a revolution throughout the South. In reality, the Sojourners were only able to send a small delegation to visit Ingram as plans for their larger march fell apart. I wonder why, okay? They probably had some agents among them. They also had intended freeing Ingram. Agents' concerns about the group was both an index of their fears about the Sojourn popularity as well as their efforts to justify Buell-based surveillances and harassment of these women. Okay? This is what happened when you try to fight against racism. Okay? The Sojourners were all aware of the Buell's surveillance and struck back by publicizing their tactics. Fresh off the Washington, D.C. protest, participants reported the FBI harassment they experienced in the press. Okay, they went to the newspaper to talk about it. Adele Young, a Los Angeles Sojourner, detailed how men in dark suits denied the group entry into the prearranged meetings. She also told of how the Sojourners could barely maneuver in and out of buildings because these men followed and photographed them as they moved. Young's recounting of events in December that the law-abiding Sojourners, now they were law-abiding with the illegal and confrontational tactics of the FBI. It also framed the black women, listen to this, it also framed the black women collective as a group that could and would stand up to government repression. I mean, look at this. The following year, the Brooklyn Carter published resolution about FBI surveillance and harassment of member Esther Cooper, Jackson Cooper, Jackson and her husband, James, mounted an impressive affront to white supremacy throughout their leadership of the Southern Negro Youth Conference, an interracial protest group that supported everything from voting rights to fair. Okay, now that's what I have a problem with, an interracial protest group that supported everything. I have an issue with that because my thing is we need to have our own. We don't need to share because when you share, when you bring white folk in, they want to own it, they want to run it, they want to be in charge of it. No, then you have to worry about them infiltrating and use, you know, and becoming the COINTELPRO. So I have an issue with that. Okay, we almost done, huh? You guys, an interracial protest group that supported everything from voting rights to fair employment practices. This SNYC organized, coupled with Cooper Jackson's support of the Sojourn, made her a target of attack. The Brooklyn Sojourn strongly condemned the FBI harassment in their resolution. They also detailed how Cooper Jackson and her daughters had been harassed and constantly followed by dozens of FBI men in the park, to school, from visits to friends' homes, by car, subway, and by train, and how agents tried to force her four-year-old daughter out of nursery school. Ain't that something? This is, you know what, that should have been a plus because you don't want to teach educating your children anyway. You need to be educating our own children. The Sojourn called for letters to be sent to President Truman demanding that he use his power to stop racist violence, or rather endorse Hoover's harassment of black women. The group resolution rendered anti-surveillance protesting part of the nation's discourse as well as Sojourn organization agenda. Okay, I'm trying to see it. Man, this is long. Lord, you have mercy. I'm not going to read all of it, though. But I just want us to understand when FBI agents couldn't break or imprison black women activists, they tried to flip them into informants. Okay, such was the experience of lifelong racial activist Audley Moore, Moore was a supporter of Black national Marcus Garvey and his, see there, Universal Negro Improvement Association, okay, in the 1920s. She rose to national fame as an organizer within the Communist Party in the 1930s and 40s when McCarthyism suppressed her radical network. More organized on the lower frequencies of the movement, and that sometimes you have to go underneath the radar in order to get it developed, in order to be, you know, for it to be good, in order for it to grow. And sometimes you just have to go underground with it and grow it that way. Same way Klan did. They sent out letters. Nope, they wasn't even doing anything in public. They did everything behind the scenes. She developed her own racial grassroots organization in the 50s and the 60s, and activists went on to monitor and advise many late 20th century luminaries, including Muhammad Ahmad, founder of the Revolutionary Action Movement, and Tanzanian President Julius Nyerere. Ooh, Lord. Agents surveilled Audrey Moore for nearly 50 years. Ain't that something? So you think this stuff is gone? You think those COINTELPROs are gone? They're not gone. They're still here, family. They are still here, and they've been here for a while, and they're not going anywhere. So NFAC, oh, they got us, they got them all under surveillance. Myself, I'm sure they probably got listening to whatever I'm saying here. It doesn't matter. My thing is truth, okay? This is nothing black folk can't handle, but my thing is when they're standing behind these badges and they're harassing you and they're able to make you look bad because people are trusting people with badges to be doing the right thing, right? But the history shows us that they're not. History shows us that they can't. History shows us how they've treated us forever. So why is it so hard for us to prove our point? Why is it so hard for people to see the police for what they really are? Okay, Moore's wealth of organizing experience made her an ideal potential bureau informant. To that end, agents called her in for an interview, telling her to name her price for sharing information on black organized and organizers committed to the cause and well acquainted with the Bureau tactics, more formed ignorant in response to the agent's questions. Okay, according to the COINTELPRO reports, the activists claimed to be ignorant and unlearned about issues related to the black organizers and offered inconclusive answers when questioned about her activism. And my thing is they'll get people with charges, and they'll offer the people with charges and say, hey, we'll drop these charges, or they'll come up with some charges and say, hey, we'll drop these charges if you be our ears and eyes. And that's what they do with the Black Caucus. That's what they do with the Black Caucus. That's what they do with the black leaders now. That's what Roland Martin's doing. That's what your Boulays are doing. That's what your Steve Martins are doing, okay? Steve Harvey, that's what your Roland Martins, that's what they're doing. These Boulays, these black Boulays, talking about I'm in the sororities. Okay, you got white women, black women in sororities. That's who think they're better than most black people because you have a degree and you have a house in the country. Give me a break, or a house, a nice house somewhere. But you just sold yourself out. Are you serious? And you think you're doing something? Because you have a home and you have a car and you have your own business, but you have your own law firm, but you still, you know, what's that scripture? What is it to gain a whole world but you lose your soul? Actually think that these black people in – oh, welcome, welcome. Do you actually think that these black folk that's in power, you think God is pleased with John Lewis, how he sold out his black folk? He talked more for the immigrants than he did for anybody. Do you really think that Elijah Cumming God was pleased with him when he died? I hope both of them bust hell wide open, and I'm saying that because they did absolutely nothing, had the power, had the authority, and didn't do not one thing for black people. And police officers was killing them at the same time when they were in office, right? But what did they do and what did they say? Thank you, Melanated. Misfit, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you joined us. Thank you for joining. But you'll have to turn that back the tape in order to understand what we're talking about, because we're talking about some truth here. We're talking about some truth. But my thing is, we have to get to the place to understand their truth. We have to understand who and what we're dealing with. We have to understand that they're going to use every tactic that they can, and they do it and stand behind their badge, but they use black folk that look like us. But if they're not talking like us and they're talking about you going against your own, then you already know that that's not the person we need to support. Just like a lot of black folk now. We have a lot of black leaders that's telling you to vote, that's telling you to go against B1, that they've sold out. You got a lot of foreigners like immigrants, Haitian, African immigrants, they come here. And what they do, they use them. And they, you know, they've already taught them how to think, so they'll bring them over here. And Biden already told you that we got to go through the Mexicans, and the Mexicans don't even like black folks. So why am I telling you again about voting and let them have them seats? Let the Republicans have them seats. Yes, you're talking about the dead black caucus. You're right. You're right. They're useless. But my thing is they are using black leadership, blacks in leadership today, like our Congress and our Senate. You had, what's that, Jim Clyburn? That dude is terrible, and he's been in office for 30 years. So my thing is, why are we allowing them to be in office for so long and do nothing for black people? Why are we allowing that? That's my concern, that we've allowed these people to do absolutely nothing for us. Let's finish. I have just a few more, and I'm going to be done. Moore insisted on using the interview to shift the scope and focus the integration and focus the interrogation agents recorded that in nearly all instances in which they questioned Moore, she entered into a diatribe on the injustice being suffered by the Negro and the iterated time and again that any activity in which she had been engaged was motivated only by her desire to improve the lot of the Negro. She also had questions of her own for the Bureau. Okay, cause, so not only was she letting him ask her questions, but she was asking new questions. Moore repeatedly queried her interrogations, asking why she noticed nothing but white men employed at the FBI office and why they spent so much time and resources surveilling her. In the end, it was Moore, not the agent, who ended the interview. She abruptly cut off their conversation, stating that she would not be a witness for them in any trial against fellow activists and that she would not discuss these matters again. Moore obstinance forced agents to conclude the report to Hoover that Moore was extremely bitter with regard to race problems and interested only in denouncing white men. If the Bureau was going to try to turn her into an informant, Moore made sure that they knew she was informed about their harassment, surveillance, and racism. Other black women organizers who were insured in COINTEL adopted a similar approach on June 3rd, 63. Local law enforcement maimed sharecropper and Mississippi activist Fannie Lou Hamer. Okay, this is Hamer also with the Student Nonviolence Coordinator Committee, was helping black Mississippians register to vote when police pulled her and other activists off the bus, brought them to the Montgomery County Jail, and beat her until her body was hard as metal. Ain't that terrible? At the time, Attorney General Behurst, the Bureau sent agents to investigate the crime. The FBI sought interviews and photos of both the perpetrators and victims and were prepared to obtain them with or without their consent. My thing is we have to understand, we keep looking to the FBI to save us, but we have to understand the FBI's history with us, and the FBI's history with us is not as good as what we remember, okay? So we tend to forget that the FBI had a lot to do with why a lot of black movements aren't moving today, okay? Like the Black Panthers, FBI, okay? NFAC, FBI. We have to understand the FBI was the one that brought our brother up on charges, okay? So we often look at the FBI and we go, oh, well, the police is not doing their job. Let the FBI investigate. And I'm like, the FBI who did what? Who J. Earl Hoover was over? You talking about that FBI who does nothing? Haven't done nothing and won't bring anybody up on charges when they murder black people. They won't even bring them up on charges of racism or hate crimes. But you talking about that FBI, and I'd be like, they're not going to do anything for us. They've not done anything for us. Only thing they've done was did the COINTEL program and put black folk against each other. That's all what they're good for, okay? We almost done, family. Many black women activists tried to thwart FBI agents' attempts to record them Hamer did the opposite. She agreed to an interview and photo documentation of her injuries, but only after agents secured her release from jail. Hamer was extremely hostile in her manner and showed little respect for the FBI during the interview. She was even more defiant in her photos. The images of Hamer, FBI file revealed an activist who literally and figuratively forced the surveillance state. Agents accumulated a full body image of Hamer in a flower patterned clinched waist dress with matching beads, necklace, and earrings. Hamer was facing forward while also sitting into this left hip, okay, forcing her right hip and leg to jot to the side slightly. And stance of defiance, okay, she was defying him. The purpose of the photo was to documentate her injuries, which the Bureau did half-heartedly. As Hamer explained, they took pictures of her front, but didn't any of my back. This is how it's read. I'm reading how it's read, where I was beaten. Okay, so they did the front, but she was beaten on her back, so they didn't take any pictures. If this was all she was going to get, Hamer was going to make it count in the photos. The Mississippi activist held out her right arm, left arm in the front of her so that her body, her facial expression, and her bruises were all in view. Yet Hamer does not look down at her injuries. She instead glazes defiantly and directly into the camera, eyes hooded but determined. Hamer's message was clear. She was complaining in the Bureau documentation of her injuries, in so much as the documentation also served as evidence of her confrontation of white supremacy. Okay? And this is a picture. I think I've showed. I think it's a picture of her already in my. Hold on, let me get over here. That's her. Okay? Can you see? Oh, Lord. There you can see that one. Okay? That's a picture of Fannie Lou Hamer. Can y'all see that? Yeah, y'all can see that. Okay, that's better. Okay, that's how she was defiant. Okay. Okay, it's almost done. I keep saying that, but it really is almost done now. Hamer understood the stakes of cooperating with the Bureau investigation. The activists reportedly indicated that the Bureau agents were a rotten bunch, and that she was well attuned to how the FBI could manipulate the evidence she provided to track this and discredit her. They did. Just a few years later, the tenure of Hamer FBI file shifted. Agents continued to track her after investigating her 1963 beating, already having detailed information on her family, job, and organized network. They also began to focus on her association with alleged black hate groups. Okay, they always talking about a hate group. Just because black folk is tired of being beat up, tired of being traumatized, you want to call us, make them look bad, or you want them to look bad in front of their group. And, you know, black folk believe anything and everything people tell them. They believe I could come up here and say one thing against Martin Luther King, and they'll run with it. One person come and say something against Grandmaster Jay, and one person will say, oh, he was an agent. And there was a black person at that. And I'm telling you, everybody was kept saying, oh, he's an agent, oh, he's an agent, oh, he's an agent. And everybody's looking like, where's your proof? Nobody ever comes up with any proof, but they always say, oh, he's an agent. Okay, well, where's the proof? He's an agent. Well, where's the proof? Well, that's all you hear, but nobody's coming out with a piece of paper and say, well, here's the proof, and this is what it's saying, and this is what it is. Nobody does that. Everybody is so busy trying to pull back the black men that's trying to help and that's putting his neck out there, but nobody else is putting their neck out there, but you had the nerve to come against him for him putting his neck trying to help you, just like Ice Cube. Ice Cube was there. Ice Cube was trying to help us. Ice Cube was telling you what to say, to expect something, to ask for something, and people tore him another butthole because they was like, we need to wait after the election. Well, what are you talking about? That was somebody who white. Somebody white told them to say that, and they took it and ran with it, just like they said, oh, Trump is worse than Biden. But if you look at Trump's history, look at Biden's history, both of their history is bad. I mean, I see Biden have done more to black folk than Trump has. I'm just saying. But don't you think because Trump getting out of office, honey, the blue boys and the bad boys and the proud boys and 3% are going away. They're not going away. So why are you talking about, oh, Trump getting out of office? I'm thank God he gone. You still better take your candy with you because I'm going to tell you what, them boogaloo boys are still going to be there. Them bad boys are going to still be there. So I hope you know that. You're not getting off of nothing. I'm just saying. I digress. But let me just continue on for
few minutes. Hang on in there with me, family. Hang on. I want you to see how your government does things. I want you to see. That's why I'm reading it. You can pull up the story to yourself if you want to, and I'll give you, well, I'll put the website in the comments, okay? I'll put it where it is if you want to read it for yourself. But my thing is, I just want to show you how your government works, okay? They also began to focus on association, okay, association black hate groups such as the Republic of New Africa, anti-Vietnam War organizations, and communist activities. Nevertheless, Hamer chose to comply with the Bureau investigation for a chance to put the atrocities she experienced on record. Hamer exploited Hoover's obsession with extensive documentation to ensure that her experience with police violence and racism would not be erased. Okay, if recent reports are any indication, the Bureau has renewed many of its surveillances and repressions efforts. Many are on the lookout for COINTELPRO schemes akin to King's suicide letter. Now, you know they told King to write a letter for him to kill himself, okay? And then studying show black women have endured and counteracted these efforts in the past can also expand conversations about the historical study and archival preservation of current protests. Social media is now one of the primary tenets to struggle between organizers and repressive state. This calls into question how we document this current movement while also being mindful of how the Bureau and local law enforcement can also use this activity to undermine protests, target black organizations, and infringe on citizens' rights. Historians and activists in groups such as Documenting the New Project Stands, the Blackivists, have taken up the questions of ethical achieving amid a rise of activist surveillances. Okay, their work shows that organizers, particularly black women, are still under siege, but also capable of creating strategies to combat surveillances and repression. Starting with the history of women who organized amid COINTELPRO offers a protective entry point for understanding how to record, write, and theorize about protest surveillances today. Okay, we have to understand, and this is why I really wanted to do this. I really wanted you to understand I just really wanted to go into more detail as far as how wicked your government is, okay? The tactics the FBI uses, how they make up charges, and even with the Black Panthers, how, you know, even some of them I heard, you know, they were saying that some of those leaders were drug addicts, and I don't believe that. How can you fight against something and turn around and do it? I don't believe that. Because I heard one lady say that Fred Hampton was on drugs when he died. And I'm like, his mom, you know, why would I understand, but they do it to break your character, to make your character look bad. But we have to understand, Roberto Morales, welcome. Is that what they do? They give the military cocaine to be more brave. I can believe that. I really can believe it. I believe that. But you have to understand, they've used the military, you know, as far as the drugs we put in our neighborhood. They did that to ruin black families. They took the jobs from our men. And this is your government, okay? They took the jobs from our men in the 70s, and they offered the women, they told them to get rid of their men, and they offered the women EBT, welfare, and they, you know, had the drugs in the neighborhood, of course, so the men were selling and they were doing the drugs. So, and that was when the black family was together, and that's how they destroyed that's one way they destroyed the black family. So we have to understand the government hides a lot behind the government, and you got people that are racist, you got people that they hate black people, you have people that have power, and their power, and they're going to use their power
to destroy black people. Masculine, our masculine NFA leader, Grandmaster, they are using their power to destroy him, or trying to, I should say. But guess what? My thing is, this is our time now, and they don't even understand who they're dealing with. But when you know Yah, and when Yah is in total control of your life, they'll hurt themselves, and that's what they've been doing throughout dealing with black people. They've tried to hurt us, and I know that we are the chosen because the Indians, they tried to hurt the Indians, and they did, and they destroyed half the Indians. But with black people, they always try, but they can never really fully hurt us. They can never, they've been trying to destroy black people since forever, and they've haven't, they can't, because we are the chosen, and yeah, we go through hell, and we're going through it for a reason. But it's okay because it's made us stronger. There's nothing black people can't go through. There's nothing we can't handle. There's nothing we can't do. There's not a situation that we can't handle. Created us to handle four seasons, okay? And with white folks, they can't handle nothing. And we can see it. They die. You know, I was watching a movie, and, you know, it was a white boy in the movie, and I was, me and my husband watched a movie, and I said, honey, watch this. And you could see the black boy and the white guy. And the white guy, he was tripping out. I mean, and it was a, what movie was that? Oh, God, it was a movie we was just watching on Netflix. I can't remember. It was black. Mary J. Blige played in it, and he ended up killing himself because he couldn't handle some things that was going on. But I tell you, white folks are the weakest ever, and they are the weakest link. But we have to understand that we've gone through what we've gone through, and we've gone through, we've come out as pure gold, and we're not done going through. But I'm going to tell you what, this year, this is our year, and you better look and know that we are coming up, and it is time for us to do our group economics. And it's time for us to do what we need to do in order to build our Wakanda. And we do that together, okay, in spite of the drugs being put in our neighborhood, in spite of them often, you know, dividing our families, in spite of the laws that Biden came up with to destroy our families, in spite of the drugs, in spite of everything they tried to do to us, in spite of them dividing and taking the men out of the home. So our boys now are you know, weak. You know, which is sad, but women, we have to understand, we have to continuously tell our boys and teach our boys not to date outside our race, not to date white women. I'm just sorry. I don't know how else to say it, because they need us to survive, okay? They need us to survive, and they're counting on their survival is dating and mating with our men, okay? Their survival is dating and mating with our women, okay? I'm just saying, you have to understand, they need us to survive, and three of them, if you marry one, you have a baby, and that baby marries somebody white, and that baby marries somebody white, you've just whited out yourself. So it's all about genocide right now, family. It's all about you living and keeping your race pure and keeping yourself pure, and you not helping to create our future oppressors, okay? Because that's what their children, if you're dating outside of your race, and you're you know, marrying white women or vice versa, you're creating our future oppressors, you guys. Because right now they're not having babies. They have a low birth rate and a low sperm count. They're not having babies. They need us to survive. And if we're going to help them to live, shame on you. It shouldn't be one white man out there dating a white woman and vice versa. Because they need your semen. Women, they need your bodies in order to live, in order to survive. So how, in closing, we don't we have to support. We have to look out for our own. We have to know that we're all we got. We have to do this by one by one. It's education. We start educating our own children. We start teaching them how to stop race mixing. We teach them to create our own defense. We help the NFAC create our own defense. We create our own investigative team. We buy land, like 19 families that just bought 100 acres. We build our own communities. We group economics. You see a service that's needed, you create it. You need a Walmart, we create a black Walmart. You need a grocery store, we create a black grocery store. You need a fish market, we create our own fish markets. We group economics. I'm doing this vendor. I need vendors. I'm a small fee. I am taking donations. I am taking pledges. Monthly pledges. This is something that we can do together. I can't do it by myself. So I'm asking you guys to help me. I'm trying to get this. We are in negotiations as far as this building, but like I said, I can't do it by myself, but I believe that you guys can help me. So I put the in the comments, I put the GoFundMe for the New Beginning Community Store. and I put Grandmaster's Defense Fund, his information in there for the Defense Fund. I know a lot of people aren't going to like what I'm saying, but it's true. If you don't like what I've been saying, prove me wrong. It's not about mixing and mingling with our enemies. You can't continue calling enemies friends. You can't do that, family. You have to know an enemy from a friend. We are all we got. We create our new black society. We build our own black nation. We support each other, and we stop looking for white folks. We stop voting for white folks. We stop putting racist white people ahead of us. We stop voting for a white president, white supremacy president. We stop voting for the boule. We stop allowing Roland Martin to lead us. We start leading ourselves, using our common sense, okay, to free ourselves, to free our mind, and we start doing the homework. We need our black schools. If anybody has a black school, know of a black school, put it in the comments. We could support that black school because that black school should be viral right now. We should not be sending our children back to schools because, you know, they have that law out now that the kids under 10, I think it's under 10, don't have to get consent from a parent to take that vaccine, and that's what they're going to do. They are going to give our babies that vaccine, and as you know, they've not done enough homework on that vaccine. As you know, they are going to try to give that vaccine to our babies. Why? Because they're using our babies as guinea pigs. So we have to be very careful. Stop believing the hype that they say, oh, more black people died than white folks. That's not true. Lisa Guevara just did a research, a fact finder as far as Florida. More white people are dying and have died, okay? So this is why we ain't got no business mixed and mingling. Yahshua told us in Deuteronomy 7 that we are supposed to marry our own. He said that. I didn't say that. That's the scripture, Deuteronomy 7, chapter. Read it. He tells us about mixing and mingling. We don't mix and mingle our blood with anybody but Israel. So these men thinking, oh, if I go out here and have a baby with a white woman, that's an Israel baby. It's not. That's a heathen's baby. Okay? I'm just saying. And I know you're not going to like what I'm saying, but I don't care because it's truth. It is time for us to do better. It is time for us to get our heads right. It is time for us to change our mentality. It is time for us to do the work in us so that we can be the people that God created us to be. Okay? This is our time. Now, who's with me, family? Who's with me? I cannot do this by myself. Go in there and New Beginning Community, GoFundMe. Go ahead and do your pledges. It'll be monthly. I'll take monthly pledges, weekly pledges, whatever. If you can do $1 or you can do $5, I don't care. Just pledge, okay? If it's something that we can do monthly, that's cool too. If you can do $5 a month, $5 a week, it doesn't matter. This is a store that's going to be for black people. This is a store that's going to be ours. This is a store. It's a vision, okay? And not only are we going to do a store, but as soon as I get this one up, I'm going to do next door, and I'm going to make a clinic, okay? And we're going to have our dentist there. We're going to have doctors, lawyers come there that's going to give you some advice. It's not going to cost a whole lot of money to do it, but I'm trying to start to create our own reality. I want us to be able to give classes. I want to get an electrician in there that can teach classes on how to be an electrician and teach classes. Maybe the electrician can be in there Monday and Wednesday, and someone can be in there Tuesday and Friday. I don't know, Tuesday and Thursday. I am trying to make this reality a reality for black people. I am trying to put us into a field that we're going to need, okay? Even if you want to do IT, we can do this, you guys. We cannot keep depending on our enemies and think that they're going to have your back. They're not. So with that said, I am not trying to be on here all day and all night. I like to get it in and get it out. I've said what I need to say. I just wanted to put some attention on our government and the men in badges. Okay, was last week. What do we do when we have killers, murderers that's hiding behind the government, behind these title lawyers, behind these doctor titles, behind the police officer titles? What do we do as black people? We take our money from them, we support our own, and we starve them out. Period. That's the only way that we win, because they fear what? They love money, and they fear us taking our money away from them. So what do? It's going to be up to us. It's up to us. Anytime we want to be free, we can be free. Anytime we want to be free, we can be free. But it's going to be up to you, black family. It is time for us to change our mentality. If we see somebody that's going against our brothers, our B1 brothers, like NFAC, we see somebody, you got some toxic black folk out there. You know, we've been through trauma. We've been through hurt. We've been through hell and high water, and we're still going through that even today in black America. But guess what? We got some toxic black folks. But when you know that they're toxic, we're going to love them and we're going to keep moving. But be one, we're going to come together. And this right now is God's way of the dividing the wheat from the tear, I believe. This is his way of dividing the wheat from the tear. You know how he said, let them grow up together, and then he'll do the dividing? You can't tell the wheat from the tares until they get older and you see who they're hanging around with, who's in their circle, and what their conversation is. Oh, I can tell the wheat and the tear now. I can tell the toxic black folks. I can tell black folks that have no regard for black people, that hate black people. And I can tell the ones that are being used by the government to distract black people, okay, to continue us thinking the way we've always thought for the last 50 years, 60 years, 500 years, that have not gotten us any closer to freedom. I can tell. You can look around you and see who's speaking up for white folks, who's speaking up for your government, who's speaking up for the Democratic Party when the Democratic Party has caused more harm than good, who's speaking up for the Republicans, who's trying to lead black people, who are they surrounding, who's paying their mortgage, who's paying their hospital, who's paying them, who's breading their butter. Nick Cannon, he found out real quick who was breading his butter when he tried to go against the Ooze, right? What'd they do? They came after him big, didn't they? And they shut him down, didn't they? And he still don't have his show. But they are so busy now in his ear, if he don't be careful, he's going to be brainwashed, and he's going to be worse than Kanye West. Because Kanye West was black first. I remember that before his mom died. And before he married that witch, Kim Kardashian, oh, Kanye West was black first, baby. I remember that. Because he was talking about them crackers so bad. But I'm going to tell you what, when he married him, he got into bed with that woman. He got up another Cayenne. I don't know who this thing is now. I don't know who he is now. But we have to come together, family. We are all we got. We cannot do this by ourselves. And it's going to take group economics. Again, go to my GoFundMe. I put Grandmaster J Defense Fund by Rosemary Parker. I put that GoFundMe in there. So remember, we support our brother. We stand up. We stand with our brother. And we will support him. I don't know what everybody else is talking about. I can go by what I'm seeing, and I don't know him personally, but if he's B1 and he is trying to take black folks and build a defense and put a hedge of protection around us, if he is trying to get this, I hope he's trying to do the defense investigative team. I hope somebody will come up with that. I can't do everything. Okay, I thought about that too, but I, you know, to contract myself out and get different lawyers in different states, and we go and we come and we try to get some of these cases, and we try to do an investigating as far as the lynching. Okay, that could be an idea for somebody to come up with a team and contract yourself out and get you some lawyers up under you, and nationwide you get them from all states. And when we have a hanging in California, we can get the team in California. They can go out and investigate. We can get the families to sue. And that's how the lawyers will get paid. When these families get their lawsuit money, you can pay your lawyers then that way, and we can go to the next case. This is another idea I thought of, but I can't do it all. I can give you ideas. I'm a great businesswoman, but I can only, you know, share, you know, what I can. But I'm hoping that we will come together and develop our own. We make our we create the community that we want to see. We create our own Wakanda, okay? With that said, family, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. I appreciate you, and I hope you come back. Thinking it's going to be on Tuesdays now, I'm thinking. Make sure I covered every area. I think I did. Just know that it's going to be up to us. If we are going to be free, it is going to be up to us. Nobody else cares about us. We have to care about us. And sometimes I think that we don't care about us. We care about individuals. We care about me. It's all about me, 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 me. What about us? Let's change our mindset and change our heart. And let's go after building our own Wakanda. With that said, family, peace. And thank you for joining. And we'll see you next week. All right, Blog Talk. Thank you for joining, Blog Talk. I appreciate everybody for joining. I appreciate you, Blog Talk, so much. So you guys have a great one, and we'll see you next. I'm thinking I'm loving these midday shows. I know some people aren't able to catch me midday, but it's working because sometimes at night I'm getting off work, so I'm rushed. I can't think because I'm tired, but I can do better when during the day.
I'm looking to retire within this year, and then I'll be with you even more, okay? But with that said, thank you for joining, you guys. I really appreciate everybody that tuned in, okay? And appreciate you. Have a great day, and thank you for joining. Peace, family.